Christmas is a time where everything gets turned upside down. Our routines are all out of whack. A lot of us are on holidays. Our feasting, delighting in good food and good wine, it's kind of the opposite to our usual habits, or maybe it should be opposite to our usual habits. Sometimes we spend time at Christmas time with people that we spend the rest of the year avoiding. Christmas is always a little bit upside down. But Christmas has always been like that. Since the very first Christmas, God keeps turning things upside down, and he still does today. My prayer is that at the end of these few short minutes together, you'll get a sense of Christmas joy. Even if you're feeling a little bit frazzled, maybe a little bit on edge about the day and the next few days as well. Hopefully God may indeed turn your day upside down, and perhaps he might even turn your life upside down. Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus began just as Alice read with these words. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So the very first Christmas starts with deep shame. This tenuous relationship between Mary and Joseph is under threat before we even knew what it's all about. We actually know very little about both of them. We know that Joseph is a simple, humble man. He's a carpenter. Mary, his betrothed, she's probably about 12 or 13 years old. She's with child. Shame and scandal is what abounds at that first Christmas. Now, Joseph is determined. He makes a determined resolution to divorce her quietly. That's how Joseph decides to deal with the scandal of Christmas. But God's not satisfied by that. Because God knows this is a child of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, Joseph's shame is turned to joy. Which is extraordinary when you think about it. This man who is so devastated, so disillusioned, he's on the brink of divorce, and yet he's able in this story to find deep joy. How? It's because God intervenes. God intervenes and shows Joseph two names. He tells Joseph that this child, this adoptive son that he will have, has two names that will actually tell us who he really is. And they're two names that will bring us great joy. Firstly, there's joy in the name Jesus. Matthew 1:21 is going to come up on the screen. Matthew 1:21 says this: "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I wonder if you know the meaning of your own name. I'm Adam. My name means earth or dirt. It's not very romantic, is it? I'm married to Megan. Megan means strong, which is pretty impressive, isn't it? Actually, Megan's maiden name, Colbran, means strong arm. So I married strong arm. Make of that what you will. See, Jesus means God saves. And it's a name that tells us how the rest of Jesus' life is actually going to unfold before us. He's going to save people from their sins. So friends, that's why there is great joy at Christmas time. That's why Joseph's shame was turned upside down and turned to joy instead, because our sins, our rebellion against God himself, our quiet refusal to even acknowledge that God is there, our refusal to bow the knee, our cold indifference at times to the God who loves us, that sin and the resulting punishment for that sin is death, that's what hangs over us. But there's real joy in Jesus, because Jesus means God saves. Jesus means
that he will save his people from their sins. And he's going to do that by dying on the cross. Which is fascinating is that the one who made life, who is life, who has life, this new life in the manger is going to end up giving his life for us. See how God just changes everything and turns everything upside down? The second name that Jesus has brings even further joy. It's the joy of Emmanuel. Matthew 1 verse 23 is up on the screen. It's an Old Testament prophecy. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, a lot of us think that God is distant, that he's removed, he's uncaring. He's kind of hard to know. He's kind of unloving. He's unknowable. Sometimes it feels like that. But that's not the reality. The reality is that Jesus is the Emmanuel. He is God with us. God has come among us in the person of Jesus. God has stepped into his creation as Jesus. And he loves us and he cares for us. And he's come for us. So it's God in the manger. It's God who will grow up and walk the streets of Israel. It's God who's on the cross. And that turns everything upside down. See how Joseph's Christmas, that very first Christmas, was turned upside down and inside out. This child that he didn't want, this relationship that he thought was over, the shame and the scandal, that's all obliterated with those two names. Jesus, Emmanuel. The child will save people from their sins. The child is God with us. But it's not just Joseph who's turned upside down. The Magi, these wise men, they appear. These are men who are on a great search. Listen to how Matthew describes the situation regarding them. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea." Herod summoned the wise men secretly, ascertained from them the time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child." These wise men are on quite a search. As Heather mentioned in her Christmas quiz, there's a lot we actually don't know about these wise men. We don't know their names, don't know how many there were. We don't actually really know where they were from. They were probably astrologers and possibly from Babylon, which is where modern-day Iraq is, but it's actually hard to tell. What we do know from the gospel narratives is that they were desperately searching. And they'd been searching for a long time, perhaps for months, maybe years. It had required extensive travels and inquiries. It would have cost them time and money and effort and energy. And they're looking for the king. And so, of course, where do you go to look for the king? You go to the capital. You go to Jerusalem, which actually spooks the current king, Herod. Further inquiries are made. The search continues. They're off to Bethlehem. That is where God's king is supposed to be born. See how God is going to turn their world upside down? Because they're searching, this yearning, this searching, this hard work suddenly turns to worship. Verse 10 and 11 of Matthew 2 are going to be up on the screen. It says this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. See, they too are joyful. Their search is finally over. And what do? They worship. That's the right response when you meet this king. This King Jesus. This king who's going to save people from their sins. This king who is the Emmanuel, God with us. They worship him. They worship that is to give someone their worth, is to honor them, is to glorify them. It might mean, you know, bowing down to them. That's what they do to Jesus. And then they offer these gifts. Because God's not done with turning things upside down. Their giving is actually going to be a symbol to us about what we receive. See, verse 11 ends this way. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are gifts of extraordinary value. They're fitting gifts for a king. I remember when Prince George was born. He's the third in line to the throne. My daughter's first grade class sent him a gift. It was a little Grug book, if you've ever read that as a kid. Never been quite sure if that's a fitting gift for a king, but it was a good gift anyway. But here are the gifts for King Jesus. They are expensive. They're valuable. They're precious. Which would be enough, wouldn't it, for a king? But they're also gifts that are loaded with meaning. Gold is often seen as a symbol of earthly kingship. And so it's fitting that gold is given as a gift to this new king, isn't it? But then frankincense is given, and that's a little bit odd. It's incense that's to be burnt, often used in temple worship. It's a symbol of deity. It's a symbol of God's presence, the incense. But it's the meaning of the myrrh that is most odd. Myrrh was an embalming oil. It's a symbol of death. Which is an odd thing, isn't it, to give to a baby? Here you go, new baby, have some death. But it's not odd when you remember that God is turning everything upside down. This king who's to be born, he's to save people from their sins, he's God with us. And what did we do with all that? We killed him. He died, and that was a death that saved us. That was a death that dealt with our sin. See, friends, that's why Christmas is such a joyful time. See how Christmas just turns everything upside down? Friends, take some time today to think about this. Have you been turned upside down? Have you found real joy, solid joy in Jesus? Have you come to Jesus and had him deal with your sin? Have you been confronted by the fact that Jesus is God with us? Have you searched and searched high and low, and then had your search turn to worship? If so, you know what I'm talking about. But if not, maybe this Christmas, commit yourself to getting to the bottom of this story. Press past the manger and the shepherds and the wise men and get to know the real Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning. Read one of the Gospels, one of the biographies of Jesus' life. Start with Mark. It's the shortest. It's the punchiest. Read it and you'll get to meet Jesus. And he might just turn your life upside down. Enjoy your presence, enjoy celebrating, enjoy giving and receiving, but take a moment today to remember that this is a day that God turned everything upside down. This is the day where God actually gave us the best present ever. Let's pray together about all this. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have indeed turned the world upside down. Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus for us. We thank you that Jesus came with a name that has meaning. Because he came to save his people from their sins. We thank you that Jesus came as our Emmanuel, God with us, that in Jesus you are with us. We thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you that in Jesus we can find real joy, that our sins can be dealt with in his death on the cross, that we can find forgiveness and hope and a fresh start and eternal life in him. Father, we pray for those here this morning who are searching. We pray that just like those first wise men, you would turn their searching into worship. For all of us, we pray that the year ahead would be one in which we can continue to trust Jesus, to celebrate all that you have done for us. Help us in the busyness of today, with lots of things going on, both today and in the week ahead. Help us to remember you. Help us to remember that you are the one that turns everything upside down, that you've actually given us the best present ever. We pray that in that we would find true and lasting joy. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.